So I am just going to go ahead. So I want to welcome all of you on this wonderful October evening. And we just came back from a magnificent weekend in St. George, concluding the first run of the Ultimate Human program, and it was magnificent for the whole weekend. And with that, I am going to just tell you that tonight Bill is speaking on the life and the times of you according to your soul. So with that, I think Bill's ready to start.
Thank you, Donna. Yes, I am. And actually, you know, when Donna's introducing this, I never hear the first half of what she's saying because I'm pushing buttons like record buttons and mute buttons and that kind of thing. But isn't that just the world's greatest title, The Life and Times of You? I mean, it just puts you in lights. It makes you the centerpiece of a whole new novel, The Life and Times of You, according to your soul. As Donna mentioned, we just got back from St. George, Utah, where we did the second of two weekends, 4 days each, of our Ultimate Human program, and it was absolutely sensational, and I'm going to completely resist my temptation to make some terrible joke. Actually, most of the people in that program were terrible jokesters. I was the only one with really good humor through the whole weekend. I just want to mention that. But anyway, I'm resisting that kind of temptation, and I just want to say it was magnificent, just magnificent. The weekend before that, I was in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. We had a marvelous two-day seminar in that area, and then following that, we had a smaller leadership training in the Washington, D.C. area. So I have been on the road and just hanging out with amazing, beautiful people. And tonight, I have an equal privilege. You are amazing. And I really want to thank you. Thank you for listening to your soul's prompt that said, ooh, dial in here. For those who are new, and again, I want to really welcome you, we usually have probably close to 100 people who just are a part of this call, some individually, some as a part of a group. So I want to welcome all of us to tonight's topic, which I have cutely entitled The Life and Times of You, according to your soul, or if you will, in and through the eyes of your soul. And you know, we all know we can look at anything, you and I, anything at all through any number of lenses. Like, for example, if I look at something through the lens of my conscious mind, well, whatever I see, however I interpret what I see, whatever's going on out there, I see it in a way that's based on my conscious mind's beliefs, values, principles, style of logic, etc. And so that's what influences a lot of what I see, and so I will see it a certain way. For example, if my mind is really about right and wrong, then I'm going to see whatever's there mostly in terms of right and wrong. And so I'll wind up seeing some things right, some things wrong. As another example, I could look at anything through my energy, through the, if you will, the consciousness of my energy, my feelings. And in there, what I see comes to me and literally shows itself to me based on how it feels, what emotions in me it evokes, if you will, whether it feels like, for example, positive energy, negative energy, or intimate energy, welcoming energy, rejecting energy. And so I tend to see it more through those eyes. And I just want to pick up one more. I could look at anything through society, through our societal values, our societal principles, our societal beliefs. And so there, it's our societal style of thinking, our societal values, our societal mores, if you will, that absolutely influence what I see. And so that's why we can line up 10 different people, show them the exact same thing, and they wind up seeing 10 different things. Well, as you have already guessed, I'm sure, tonight, I want to look at and invite us to look at your life and times. And I just picked the title to be cute, but look at yourself through the eyes of the lens of your soul. Like, what does your soul see, know, get about you? So like the mind might be based on a certain set of beliefs, our energy based on how it feels. What is it that your soul bases what it sees you on? Well, let me take a detour. Talk about this soul thing for a little bit. We all know what our soul is, at least to the degree that we can conceptualize it, cognize it. And frankly, that's, as I've said to a number of groups, that's why I love the word soul, is because we can just talk about it enough, but it's just mysterious enough. It just hangs out in a space of mystery enough that we can't like pin it down. But it's a totally deep, totally central part of who we are, and its wisdom is ours, and it's just the juiciest facet of who we are. So my sense is when we meditate, we gradually sink down into, maybe we sink up into, our soul's bosom. And that, from that place, we look at life through our soul's eyes. Or if we're in one of those like deeply reflective moods where we perceive, interpret things, not from external values necessarily, but from the core of our being, where we just bring whatever we're looking at into our absolute center, then again, we're looking at whatever it is through our soul's eyes. So I'd like to dedicate our time together, yours with me, mine with you, ours with each other, to a frank, genuine look at you, just you, everything about you, and look at that through your soul's eyes, or according to your soul's vision, maybe with your soul's unique perspective. What is that? Or just to say it simply, as your soul sees you, gets you, knows you, expresses to you. And I want to start with the question, who are you? Not just as maybe the simplest, most fundamental question in life, but who are you? That age-old philosophical question, start there, and let's see what your soul has to say about your who-ness. And if you graduate from that, I'll name you Dr. Who. I couldn't resist. I am so sorry. I'll never do it again till the next time. So see what your soul has to say about your identity. Who are you? But first, let me invite something, because as you know, this sacred, precious, beautiful hour together is really not about the words. We do words because, hey, we're on the phone. And that's the communication style of the phone lines. But we also do words because words are a beautiful hint. They're like a door opener. They're like the tip of the iceberg to something much, much, much deeper. So I'm inviting all the words that I use, or all the words that you might hear from deep within yourself, to just well up and invite you somewhere else. Invite you beyond the words, deeper than the words, in between the words, between the lines. And so let me suggest that we all start right now by becoming our soul right now. Not just conceptually, but place yourself right in the middle right now of your sacred center, your innermost being, your all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving, all-empowering soul. And then look at you from there. So you there? Good. And so again, while you're listening to my words, listen much more strongly to your soul's inner words. And I think we're ready to go. So I was sitting here earlier this afternoon thinking, what is the first thing that your soul sees about you? In fact, I wasn't thinking. I was sitting in the middle of our collective soul, and I was asking my soul, what is it that you, that soulful center of this person, what is it that you know about this person? What is your soul totally clear about regarding you? That maybe that central core something that in your soul's view is the maybe irrefutable, clear, certain, concretely big fact about you. What is that? And as I let your soul's all-knowing, all-seeing eyesight get focused around this question and myself wrap around that, one thing one answer, one response magically appeared. And these three words would say it. This is how your soul sees you. This is how your soul answers, who are you? You are sacred. Sacred. You are sacred, utterly, clearly, beautifully, wondrously, divinely sacred. You're sacred as in holy, divine, precious, pure, sacrosanct, blessed. Sacred like a temple is sacred to Jewish people, a mosque sacred to Muslims, a church sacred to Christians, nature sacred to animists, sacred sites sacred to spiritual teachers. You're sacred. Sacred like saints are to their followers, like angels are to those who believe in them, like God is to human beings. You are sacred. Can you feel that about you? Can you feel your soul resonating those words, that truth about you into your heart, into your body, into your energy, into your mind? So let's just sit with that for a minute. Sit with that quality. You are sacred now. Now, right now, right here. Divinity lives in you. You're, to use the Hebrew quote, you're created in the image and likeness of God. Godness is in every fiber of your being, in every feeling of your emotion, every thought of your mind, in every twitch of your muscle. Godness. God is you. You, God. Every moment of every day of your life. So, yes, you're that sacred. And that sacredness never, ever, ever goes away. It never disappears. It never wanes. Plain and simple, you're fully, completely sacred. And I feel like the good news about that is this. Your soulful self, that you that is the soul of life, that you that you centrally are, your soulful self knows this truth about you. Clearly, totally. I think that's why as I sat with us this afternoon, just asking your soul, asking our collective soul, who is this person? That I got those three words, you are sacred. Our soul knows that. Nothing can ever deplete that, lessen that knowing. Yes, in your sacred core, you are completely clear that you are totally sacred. Wow. I would just like to let that in me and in you just digest a little bit. As with words, and feel free again to ignore these words if something's happening deep within you, let's look at this sacredness of yours a little more closely. Let's ask ourselves, what does it mean, really, truly? What does it mean to be sacred? Sacred in maybe the nitty-gritty of your person or in the pulls and tugs of your life, in the outer world, inner world. What is that? Well, I think that your sacredness, that is the right and privilege that you have, I have, we have, to be officially a sacred being, a sacred presence. I think that sacredness, to be a godlike being, a revered presence, is one that deserves honor. And maybe just in this moment, we give that, and we give you this precious moment of honor. So if you are that sacred, and I believe that you are, shouldn't I, and maybe all of us here, and you yourself be, and excuse me for sounding like I'm going off the deep end, shouldn't we be bowing in deep honor of the immensely divine being that you are? Shouldn't we be filled with our own deep sense of, wow, look at you. Look at your pure nature, your perfection, your blessed state. Look at this divine being that you are. I deeply believe the answer is yes. And interestingly, deep down in us, deep in that soulful center of our being, that's exactly what we're doing. Even if we're fighting with each other, deep down, we recognize you are sacred. And I am so honored, even in this moment, to be fighting with you. And of course, since everything in life starts and ends with you, the obvious truth is, more than me, more than every one of us, you could be, should be the primary person recognizing your sacredness, honoring you, blessing you because of your sacredness, being in a state of utter deep awe, because your own sacred nature fills you and is filling you right now with the deepest self-respect. Your sacredness gives you a profound self-love, an awesome celebration of who you are. So, I guess the next question is something like, are you? Are you filled with this sense of your sacredness? Can you feel it now, sense it now, intuit it now, grasp it now, get it now? Can you feel that knowing deep in your depths? Are you filled with a sense of your grandeur, a deep respect of your sacredness, a core foundational knowing about how utterly awesome you are? Let the answer just gently evolve. Don't push it. Whatever comes up, whatever it sounds like, even if it doesn't come up as the big, huge, profound yes, don't be too hard on yourself, please. The good news is this. Your soul knows. Your soul holds that precious space, that space of knowing your innate awareness. Your soul sees your truth. Your soul respects you totally, completely, always. Your soul gets you deeply, fully. And your soul is your most reliable, predictable, ever-present, unending fan and advocate. Yes, Your soul sees what I want to call how divine you are, your divinity, knows your perfection, gets your sacredness. I think that's one of the most awesome ingredients in our human nature. I think the fact that we have a soul that gets us, knows us, holds that space, never gives up on that truth. I feel like that's what makes us magnificent. So, let's not leave this fact of our sacredness just yet. Not jump into another something. Let's dive more deeply into this amazing thing called your soul. Just before I do that, I'm going to take a 5-second break and close my door. I'll be right back. And take a drink. While together, we just sit in the middle of this remarkable you that I want to call your soul or your soulful self. So here's a question. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be your soul? To be your soul completely. That is, To not feel separate from your soul, not be just a visitor, to become so embodied in your soul's presence, so filled with its vision, so complete in its awesome centeredness within you, that, for example, its vision becomes your vision full time. Wouldn't it be awesome if you weren't, and I weren't, just a frequent visitor to your soul? A part-time experiencer of everything your soul knows, of that great wisdom in there, a once-in-a-while partaker in its unconditional love, a sometimes voyeur of its wonderful awe for its respect for who you are. Wouldn't it be sensational, utterly sensational? Go with me here if you feel like it. If each and every one of us lived full time in our soul. If we looked at, for example, every event and circumstance in our life totally through the soul's wisdom, grasped our soul's unconditional love for every person around us, if we experienced ourselves exactly as our soul does every minute. Let's go there, you and I. Let's open ourselves today, tonight, to do exactly that, to go deeply, fully into that reservoir, into that sacred temple called our soul, to, if you will, take a quantum leap into that deepest, deepest core of our being, so that we literally, in these next moments together, become our soul. Let go, if you feel like it, and let it happen. So, let's maybe take seriously, not in a way that stops the fun, take seriously the fact that we are what we've so often called a God self. That we, you and I, are an I am presence. And you look at the word God self, I am, those are fancy words for souls. Soul is a fancy word for those. We so embrace that, that we are our soulful center, that we are the very soul of life. That we, you and I, are so filled with our soul sacredness that we have no choice but to be everything our soul is. So let's take that seriously and take it as our deepest, most central truth. And from this point in our time together this evening, I would appreciate your allowing me to speak as though, and it really is true, you are your soul, as though your soul's knowing is your knowing, your soul's vision is yours, as though there's no difference between you and your soul, and so literally, that's how I'm looking at you, you and your soul, one, because after all, that's already the truth. It is the underlying truth about you and me anyway. We are our precious, beautiful, soulful center. We are our soul's wisdom, our truth. We are our soul's endless love. We're our soul's everything. Everything, everything, everything. And what that means to me is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that we sometimes forget that we are that. It doesn't matter that our personal vision sometimes gets fogged over or we forget our soul's unique perspective. In my book, it's not important whether we feel totally loved and adored from the core of our being all the time. It's great. It's wonderful. It's the truth of us. It's the powerful role that soul plays. It's the life and times of me as soul, soul as me. But it doesn't matter if we forget it. It doesn't matter whether we totally fill ourselves with a huge bout of self-hatred every now and then. It's simply not relevant whether we experience our amazing soul's innermost power in our minds, our feelings, or whether sometimes we're just clueless, maybe for hours or days on end. It's just not important. Why? Why isn't it, your conscious, logical mind might say? Well, why isn't it important? Of course, I don't know, but it's certainly frustrating when we don't feel our soul's love, for example. It's certainly disturbing our equilibrium if we're ignorant of our soulful power. Why isn't it important? Well, let me take this shot at it. And you probably have a better answer. Simply put, I think it's not important because it's not important to our soul. Our soul doesn't judge us for our ignorance. Our soul doesn't evaluate our seeming faults. Our soul never finds fault with us, with our fears, with our resistance. Our soul never, ever, ever puts the focus on what I would like to call our apparent wrongness. Never. So if I'm looking at you through the eyes of your soul, I don't care whether you lose focus. I don't care whether you forget. I don't care whether you get so lost in your human this or that that you totally even forget that there's a soulful you. I don't care because if I'm your soul, all I do is I love you. I love you unconditionally. Our soul only embraces and supports us, always, nothing else. Our soul only believes in us, knows that we'll get around to becoming who we fully are, totally someday. Our soul is immensely patient, kind, loving, totally supportive. Or let me say it another way. Our soul knows at the bottom line that we are it. We are our soul. And that it is we. Our souls, like they're working full time. Not working up a sweat, I might add. Our soul's a cool cucumber. Working full time. I thought that was cute. Working full time to invite us to become anew that soulful self that we already are. And maybe that soul, that precious soul of yours is choosing this hour, this evening, to do the same. That is, to invite you, to invite me, to invite us to become what we already are, a fully soulful self. So let's do exactly that. Let's know together, you and us as a soulful family, that's what we are, together as a unified community, people who love one another. Even if you're new here, the first time here, you are held by us. You're loved in whatever way you want, in a way that respects totally any boundaries you may have, but in a way that absolutely adores you as perfect, just like your soul does. So let's join together, and let's know together we are our souls, and vice versa, and let's proceed from there. So I have another question. As your soul, you are your soul. As your soul, what do you see? Look into yourself as your soul. What do you see about yourself? If it's okay, I would like to take the risk of putting into expression what I feel, intuitively feel, some of your answer might be, while you perhaps remain clear what you, your soul-filled, soul-full, soul-empowered, soul-wise self that you are, what you see about you. So I have four things I see. First, I see your vast wonder. I see your endless light. I see, and let me change it to you. You see your divine grace, your expansive splendor. You see your own mighty elegance. Yes, you see every aspect of your infinity, your divinity, pouring through your veins, glowing from your nervous system, maybe right here, right now. You see your divine nature, maybe roaring powerfully through your body, or whispering gently through your emotions here, now. You see the awesomeness of God as your own awesomeness now. That's the first thing that I think you see. Second, you put your focus on your humanness, and you see your humanness as a wonderful playground for fun. Could it be that's what your soul knows about your humanness? Maybe the first big vision of the human you. Wow, you're here to play. So, as that soul, you see your emotions as a vast roller coaster of emotive possibilities, geared to give you the full spectrum, the full play of energies and experiences of life, and you feel grateful for the ride. You also see your own creativity as simply an extension of God's creativity. You see everything you do as the expression of God's outpouring manifestation. You see your own desires as a further outplay of God's endless desire for even more creative outpouring. So that's the human you. And third, you look at your mind. You look at your mind. And you see your mind as a microscopic version of the mind of God, the intelligence of creation itself. And in fact, instead of disrespecting your mind, you respect your mind, even in it what might look like its dysfunctional style of thinking. You love your mind. And as your soul, you support your mind in its efforts to be helpful. So that's right. You are in love. You're in love from the mind's point of view. You're in love with your every thought, your every feeling, your every action. You're in love with every circumstance that befalls you. I mean, deeply in love with every situation you find yourself in love with yourself in every way possible, with every breath, in love with your every involvement. Why? Why are you in love? Simply because you are your soul. You're your soul. Simply because as your soul, you see the fullest truth. You hold the deepest wisdom. You experience the broadest vision of each and every moment of your life, each and every cell of your being. And because as your soul, you find yourself wanting nothing less than to totally immerse yourself in you, in that circumstance's possibility, in all the invitations of any moment, because you want to completely love your dynamics, because you know in turn those dynamics become your pathway to even more freedom and love. As your soul, you're excited about you. You're excited about life. You see the truth. You know the wisdom. You get you. And you are just thrilled to be taking the ride. In this context of being in love, I would like to take a couple of minutes and read some of a poem. In fact, it's a poem I wrote to introduce my new book of poetry. And no, this is not a plug for the book of poetry. And it's the book I entitled The Soul in Love. And in that book, I had your soul talking to you. And in this one called Welcome, it's the first one in the book. In this one called Welcome, your soul says this to you. Hello, I'm your soul, and I'm in love. Yes, deliriously, passionately, hopelessly in love. I'm in love with everything that exists, you see. But most especially, I'm deeply in love with you and that mysterious world called your life. I have no choice, you know, for I'm your soul, the purely, clearly loving you. I'm the you that sees life with unclouded eyes, that embraces everything in its deepest truth, that knows not how to judge or condemn, but that cherishes the beauty that resides everywhere. You know, I was with you when you swallowed your first breath of earthly air, and I've lived in your ever-glowing heart every day of your budding life. From this sacred home in your heart, where I nurture your uncluttered truth, I love you fully, cherish you deeply, encourage you endlessly. I proclaim your seamless worth at every turn, urging you on when times are especially hard, softly nudging, inviting you always to remember. Always to remember. To remember most of all the sacredness of your beautiful self, the perfection of your human condition, the wonder of your majestic life, and the magic of every event that enters that life. To remember the divine touch embedded in everything you see, the infinite miracle veiled within whatever you embrace, and the utter preciousness of every moment of your life in which you are so tenderly held in this planet's warm embrace. And with those words, I would invite us anew to realize we are that soul. We are so wondrously that soul. That soul is the central you, me, us. And that vision, that role, that grounded power, that unending love just is what makes being you awesome. Just awesome. And this soul is how you, as your own soulful self, sees you. How you can relate to you. How you can, if I may use the word, adore you. So I said I had four perceptions from the eyes of your soul, and I've mentioned three of them. I'd like to add one final one. It's a funny one, and many of you lately have heard me refer to it. This one is in relation to your primal self. Why your primal self? Because so often we, in our not so pure learned assumptions, we can see through the eyes of our soul everywhere else, but maybe not into our primal self. So remember, you are your soul. And as your soul, as you look deep, deep within yourself, deep into your personally primal regions, where the view is sometimes dark, where the underlying stories are sometimes grim, that this is what you see. This is what you, as your amazing, totally wise soul, gets as you look in this deep space. Your primal self, for example, your sexual, generative, organic, earthy, reptilian, mushy, unsophisticated, chaotic depths, your primal self is totally, totally divine. That's right. Divine. Bear with me. The soulful you, the you that sees only the real truth of everything, especially the real truth of yourself, sees only the real truth about this primal ooze of your earthy nature. Even more, your soulful self throws itself into union with, into participation with this deep primordial depth of you, and it finds the pony in that depth's manure. It finds the divinity in your depth's humanity. It finds the wonder in any darkness or confusion that's there. And better yet, your soulful self knows precisely how to navigate your way through its mysteries, how to find complete freedom in the middle of its seeming stereotypic messiness. Yes, you, soulful wonder that you are the wise sage who can lead you in and through the primal mystery of life and literally find God. Find the sacred treasure of life. Find yourself more fully than ever. And in finding yourself here, finding God here, arrive at that ultimate freedom, that desired nirvana, that fully realized state that your soul has maybe even been calling you to forever. So, as I try to end this talk, let's have an experience, a deep, deep experience. Let's experience ourselves as our soul, even more than we've been doing so already. Again, move beyond the levels of words right now into our hearts. Let's just go in our hearts, into that inner central space where our souls reside, where our souls have full sway, full rights, full presence. And let's live for just a few minutes in our hearts. Let's let our soulful self take us over right there in our hearts even more. Take us into its bosom. Immerse us into its wisdom. Initiate us into its totally unconditional love and bring our sense of who we are, our sense of our identity into oneness with that amazing self called soul. So these few words are but background music. They're not about the concepts, they're about our immersion in soulfulness. They're not about the facts. They're about an initiation into soul life, the soul food, the soul music of our own being. They're not about a process. They're about each of us becoming our central soul more than ever before. So these are the words. Just be with them. Let them move you. Let them become you. You are sacred. You are divine. You are perfect. You are beautiful. You are filled with the full truth of everything. You know everything right now. Equally, you love. You love yourself. You love everything around you. In fact, you love everything that is. In this very moment, in exactly the many and endless ways in which your soul loves you. So right now, you love yourself and everything unconditionally. Also, you are so powerful. In fact, you're all powerful because your soul is all powerful. You're all empowered, all juiced to take charge of anything in your life, to feel fully sure of yourself, to become grounded completely in your core, deeply established in your source, wondrously, sensationally juiced in every aspect of your being. You are in truth so beautiful, elegant, divine, perfect, love-filled, short and simple. You're no different from God. You're made, quote from Genesis, in the image and likeness of the divine in every way. Right now, you are sacredly divine. Can you feel that? Can you look at the, quote, the life and times of you, unquote, through your soul's eyes and notice that you're also looking through your own eyes and you find no difference in the eyes, no difference in the perception, no difference in what's perceived. Indeed, you see now that you, your person, your humanness is sacred. Your life, as in the life and times of you, your life is divine, and your times are utterly precious. In short, if I may say it crudely, you rock, and you rock big time. And we're about to complete this conversation, at least my end of this conversation. In a moment, I'm going to turn the microphone over to you so you can inspire us with your words, or even if you find yourself wordless, as so many do, you can inspire us with your soul's light, your soul's energy, as we feel it in our own light, our own energy. But I'd like to insert one last element into my part of our interaction, and it's a bit of a pitch, I might add. It's a message that I believe our collective soul may have just been inviting me to insert into the mix of this moment. It's a message we all already know. There's nothing new in it, but it's one that seems to want like a special underline in our minds, an added emphasis in our psyches, a unique echo in our spirit. And here it is. These are the words. And we've said it already. You are your soul. I am my soul. We are together the soul of life. We are soul. There's no difference between the human you and your soul, the human me and my soul. Our first and foremost identity, the essence and center of who we are, is our soulful self. Your soul's essence is yours. Your soul's love is yours. Wisdom is yours. Your soul's deep authority and power is yours. First and foremost, we are soul. Edgar Cayce, that great American mystic of the early and mid-20th century, said these words, and I'd like to read them twice. First, spirit is the life, mind is the builder, and the physical is the result. Realize that you are first a soul. And if I may repeat, realize that you are first a soul. You are first a soul. What if you and I would not only accept that concept as a fact, not only embrace that fact as a truth, not only call upon ourselves to own it as our total truth, what if we would, right now as we are in the middle of, become it? What if we would take that cosmic leap into being soul? Take that old dusty plunge into the inviting waters of being a soul-centered identity and self. Take a quantum leap into our soulful center and refuse to go anywhere else. Refuse to center ourselves anywhere else ever. What if we would right now, as we're doing, become our souls officially? Yes, officially, right now. What if we would, to use a current term, pledge allegiance to our soulful self. the United State of Seoul, to be a full-time official citizen of the State of Seoul, to find our complete identity, our worth in our soul's depths, to center our every decision, our every thought, our every feeling in our soul's reservoir of absolute perfection, to become our soul endlessly, forever, daily, in every moment, in this moment. And we're witnessing ourselves doing that right now, hearing the echo of our own pledge of allegiance to our soul whelming up from our human depths. And finally, we're witnessing the very fact that right now, you and your soul, I and my soul, we and our soul are linked, intertwined, interconnected, united, integrated, unified, one, right now, right now. And I thank you. I thank you for being the soul that you are, this brilliant, light-filled, radiant soul, and this brilliant, light-filled, radiant you. I thank you for being that during this time together. I thank you for being it in your whole life, from the moment of your birth until whenever it is the moment of your death. In short, in my view, and in your soul's view, you are, and I quote these two words from the core of my being, the best. Thank you. And with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to press a couple buttons, and I'm going to put the phone off of mute. You don't need to unmute your phones at all. And I'm going to turn this over to you, to any one of you who feels like you would like to add to this. I ask you, as always, not to ask me any questions, because this is your chance to inspire us, to speak to us, to share yourself or any thought or whatever you have with us, and in so to bless us enormously. So excuse me while I push a button. And at this point, we are all muted, but anyone who would like to say anything can simply unmute your phone. That's usually a *6. And then if you would just say what your name is and tell us whatever you would like to say. And then when you're finished, you can mute your phone again. Is there someone who would just love to say something to us?
Hey, Bill, it's Robert.
Hey, hi, Robert.
Thank you for this weekend.
Thank you. You are so welcome.
Inspirational, emotional guidance tonight that has brought me back into my primal lion, which has lived in me for so long and made me this wonderful magician that I am.
Yes.
And I feel so blessed to have learned this feeling tonight and to learn again about who I am and what the soul means to me. And the most important element I got from this tonight was I finally have come back into the unconditional love that I know I am.
Oh, wow. Whew. Robert, you have just touched me and I'm sure us to my core. Thank you. That was, besides eloquent, it just is so from your heart. Thank you. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
Yes. Wow. Would someone else like to say something?
Bill?
Yes.
Hi, well, this is Adrian.
Well, hi.
I was telling a friend of mine the other day who asked me how I was doing. I said, well, I feel like I just want to be embedded in pure silence, and I want Lord Krishna to just roll me up in a ball, pop me in his mouth, chomp me down, and I'll merge with his intestinal tract. And so you're talking about the primal ooze really gave me permission to do exactly that.
Wow.
So thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it. I hope you think this is funny. I'm not a little too weird. Anyway, thank you, Bill, very, very
not
much.
Not weird at all, but then I was, thank you. That was
I love
delicious.
Given permission to merge with the primal ooze and the primal manure. Very much. I think that's a wonderful idea. I really do.
Thank you, Adrian.
You are the best, Bill. And hi to everybody out there.
Yo.
And blessings from Aloha Land.
Thank you. And would someone else like to share something? You've got a great act to follow if you do.
Bill, hi. It's Debbie in Texas.
Well, hi, Debbie in Texas.
Hi, Bill. I just wanted to express my love and appreciation and gratitude for you and for all of us and the connection we all share. So thank you.
Oh, how sweet of you, Debbie. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That is so precious of you.
Okay. I love you very much. Thanks.
Oh, thanks. Yay. Would someone else like to share something, share anything? Would be the perfect moment if you feel like it. Just unmute that cute little phone and say something. And it would just appear that there's no one else who would like to share anything. So, you know, what's really kind of cute, I noticed that over the years that we've been doing this, my talks just seem to get a little longer and a little longer. I think I started out, you know, talking maybe a half hour or a little bit more, and then I've gradually been working it up to 40, 45 minutes. And I know you're expecting me to apologize for that, and we may get there, but I don't think so. I'm just mentioning it that one of my commitments, even though I am such a loudmouth and just give myself permission to yak away, is not to cut off anybody else, because I totally get the beauty of oneness and the beauty of shared soulfulness, really, I think, is each of us is an empowerer of each other. We're a soulful blesser of each other. So for this whole evening, this whole time together, I really thank you very, very much for that. Before I turn this over to Donna, I want to say a little something, make a little announcement, and then probably summarize or tie this up just a little bit. Next month is, I know you may have guessed it already, November. And because we don't do the teleconference in December, just because the end of December is a time of holidays and festivities and utter drunkenness on the part of every one of you that I know, but because of that, this is why, by the way, I love having the phone muted, is because you can't yell back at me when I make silly remarks like that. So next month will be our last teleconference of the year. And as you know, CSL is going through this absolutely exquisite transformation. And so we're putting a different twist on the teleconferences starting January of next year, where we're going to have different ones of us in the community being the person who takes the role that I've been having over these last many years. So next month will be my last teleconference as the speaker, and I really am excited about tuning into and being a part of the teleconference calls on the part of all of us with new speakers. But next month, I will have a special message. It's not a goodbye message at all, but it's a deep message from me to you. It's a very heartful message, a very personal conversation with you, and I think it will be just juicy and fun and wonderful, and I'm so looking forward to it. So I want to invite you to that if you feel like it. And just as I am getting ready to turn this back over to Donna, may I just tell you how deeply I love you. In a sense, maybe I'm privileged in life to sit in the middle of soul, just a big, huge bundle. And that includes sitting in the middle of your soul and seeing you as your soul sees you, as well as the way my soul sees you, or maybe seeing you as the way the soul of life itself sees you. And I cannot tell you, and I know I speak for Donna as well, just the utter, absolute beauty that I see. So when I jokingly say you are the best, I totally mean that in its elegance and in its interdimensionality and in its depths and heights and breadth. You are so divine and so exquisite. I could not begin to fathom the utter sacredness of who you are, even sitting in the middle of your soul as much as I do, because it is a gazillion times so much more than that. Thank you so much for being a part of this time. And it is my pleasure and privilege to turn the next words over to my beautiful, precious life mate, one of the most sacred, enormously beautiful people I am privileged to know, Donna.
Thank you. Wow.
Take that.
Thank you. I do want to thank all of you for being with us tonight. And as we mentioned, next month, it'll be November 30th. We will be grateful and thankful on Thanksgiving for every single one of you. And with that, I think it is just exactly on the hour. And so let's all have a wonderful goodbye to each other.
Wonderful. Thank you, Donna. Goodbye, everybody. And you are muted, so you can yell and scream and do whatever you want.
Hi.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Bill and Donna. I love you. Happy Halloween. Sweet dreams.
Wonderful. Bye.
Bye, Bill.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.